Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big night in the NBA and a huge night for the Wizards. Off to one of their best starts in 12 years. A chance to get to 4-0 and they can handle their business against the Lakers team they're better than. They will be there. Sideshow storyline, as is typically the case with the Ball family, though.
Yeah, it has to be.
Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post, who does an outstanding job covering the NBA, joins us now. So, Tim, to go back through the specifics here, Lonzo Ball's father, who gets interviewed by everybody, we don't say his name on the show, he was talking about the Lakers and basically said they can't lose to the Wizards. They won't lose twice in 1 week. Beware John Wall. Marcin Gortat then tweeted Wall was going to torture Ball. It was the biggest topic of conversation with the Lakers at their shoot-around yesterday. That catches us up to speed. What are you expecting tonight? A lot of war of words going on here.
I mean, I expect the Wizards to win and John Wall to play really well and Lonzo Ball to be okay because he's a rookie and rookies generally stink, and even though he's going to be a really good player. And John Wall's, you know, one of the best point guards in the league. So, you know, as you said, LeVar tends to stir up a lot of controversy and get people talking about him and about his son, which is understandable. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is about what's going to happen on the court, and what should happen on the court is the Wizards beat a bad team and one of the best point guards in the league plays well.
How good are the Wizards, Tim? They usually start off like 2-10 and then figure it out. That's kind of what I'm used to here. So I never want to overrate the initial sample, but this starting five, even without Markieff Morris, seems to be pretty good. What's their ceiling, do you think?
I mean, I thought before the season even started they were going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. That was before the Celtics had the Gordon Hayward injury. So, I mean, to me, they're the number two team in the East, and if they're healthy, they should make the Eastern Conference Finals, and especially now that Hayward is out. I mean, the floor is really open to them, and I think if they don't get to that level this year, it'd be a really big disappointment.
Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post is with us on Grant and Danny.
So, Tim, when you talk about these kind of West Coast swings and the like here, where the Wizards kind of have this sort of chance on their plate to get this kind of like a hot start, even without the bench kind of gelling at this point, what's kind of the biggest challenge of them sustaining this thing? Because what I worry about is you got a history of injury with Bradley Beal and Wall, you know, killing himself in the lane so many times over. I just worry that it may be unsustainable at this point. What are their biggest challenges, do you think?
I mean, I think you kind of hit on it. They just, as long as they could stay out on the court, I mean, they're playing a couple of bad teams out here. You know, they should, you know, they getting the win in Denver was always going to be tough. They did that. They should beat the Lakers. They should beat the Kings, and they'll probably lose on Friday to Golden State. So, you know, if they do that, they come and they end the trip 3-1. That's a good trip, and I think that's, you know, if you're the Wizards, that's what you should be looking at. Is, you know, if you can get the, obviously you can get the Golden State game, that'd be great. But you know, if you can win the games you're supposed to on these West Coast trips, that's really where you make a difference, because these trips are tough. And if you, you know, it's easy to skip, you know, to trip up on a game or two, but if you come out here and you win the games you're supposed to, all of a sudden, you know, that sets you up nicely when you come back home to be able to take advantage of being back on the East Coast and back in your home court for a while.
Tim, it's too early to start to look at some of the metrics on, you know, nuanced things, but the Wizards bench right now has been sixth worst in the NBA in terms of plus minus net rating. Curious your thoughts on how improved they are. The personnel looks better. And then how long into the season we should expect before they start to gel after the Frazier injury and some of the things that may have hurt their continuity and cohesion before the year started?
I mean, I think it's going to take some time. You know, Markieff Morris being out is a huge thing because, you know, Kelly Oubre is a really good player. And if you have him coming off the bench full time, your bench is going to look better. So, you know, that's the first thing. Jason Smith gave them some nice minutes last year. He's hurt. So, you know, once he gets back, that should help. And, you know, I frankly would like the Wizards to be playing one of John Wall or Bradley Beal on the court at all times. I don't really quite get the insistence on having these all bench lineups out there. I think if they did that, it would probably help some. But, you know, again, it's three games into the season. You kind of hit on it. There's time to see how this shakes out, to potentially go get another piece or two down the road to bolster it a bit. But if Jody Meeks is healthy and if Frazier can, you know, stay healthy after the groin thing he had during camp and Kelly Oubre gets back on the bench and Mahinmi gets more comfortable, I mean, they have internal improvement there that should allow them to get better. And look, they don't need to have the best bench in the league. They just need to get to being average. And so if you think about going from 24th to 25th to 15th, that's a much better jump to think about than going from, say, 25th to 5th.
At Tim Bontemps on Twitter, what does the rest of the NBA do? The only other backcourt off the top of my head, obviously, is Curry and Klay Thompson. But with the other really good point and shooting guard tandems, is it common that those guys will sit at the same time, or is one always on the floor?
No, usually one's on the floor. They'll tend to switch things around. The Blazers in particular have either C.J. McCollum or Damian Lillard on the court at all times. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry tend to take turns during games. You know, Kyle's kind of had control of that second unit to start of second quarters for a couple of years now. I mean, so I would personally like to see the Wizards do more of that. I haven't got a chance to talk to Scott lately. I'll see him this week, and I plan on trying to find out exactly why he's stuck to that. Still, I would like to see them change that. But you know, at the end of the day, they're 3-0, and you know they've played well. So you know, there's only so much you can say if they keep having success.
Hey Tim, what are you hearing on the Eric Bledsoe front? This is a guy that you know the Phoenix passed on De'Aaron Fox because they thought they were all set with Eric Bledsoe and Devin Booker, point guard, or at the guard spots, and now they can't wait to get rid of him. Who's in on him, but who should be in on Eric Bledsoe?
I mean, it's kind of a complicated thing because there aren't a lot of teams that need a point guard. They're going to be willing to give up an asset or two to get him, and everybody knows Phoenix is trying to trade him, so their leverage is pretty low at the moment. I think the trade, to me, that makes the most sense is a deal with Denver for Emmanuel Mudiay and Kenneth Faried. That would give Phoenix a point guard back, a young guy that they could play, you know, with Devin Booker, with Josh Jackson, see, you know, how that looks for a couple of years before they potentially have to pay Mudiay. He's still a young guy. He's got a lot of potential. I would be happy to take a chance on him as a second draft guy and see how it goes. And Denver could use a point guard. They're trying to make the playoffs. If you have him there, you can have Jamal Murray kind of be a super six man and come off the bench and play either guard spot, play next to Gary Harris, play next to Eric Bledsoe, both of whom would be nice pieces next to him. I think a trade like that makes sense, but you know, that's been rumored for a while and hasn't happened going all the way back to the summer. So it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. The only thing that seems certain is that at some point here in the fairly near future, Eric Bledsoe won't be on the team anymore.
Tim, Jason Tatum has really impressed me. He's averaging 15-8 for the Celtics. Has he been the best of the top of the board rookies? And give me a thought on Markel Fultz and what we found out about his shoulder yesterday, too.
Tatum's been good. Again, we're 1 week into the regular season, so I'm not really going to go overboard on anybody. Lonzo, I think, has played fairly well. He had a rough opener, but he's played two games since then. But it's going to take some time to see how these guys look. As far as Markel Fultz goes, I watched that guy play 3 times last year in college. He is a hell of a player. He does not look like the same player. So there's clearly something going on with him. He's been shut down for 3 games now with some shoulder soreness. That would certainly, you would think, explain why his shot looks all jacked up at the moment. That's not the same guy that I saw lighting teams up last year. So hopefully he can get healthy because I think he's going to be a real stud, and it would be nice to see him, you know, playing at peak efficiency as opposed to, you know, looking far less than that like he is right now.
Is what the Clippers, and again, you already touched on it, Tim, it's so early, but are what the Clippers doing, is this kind of a referendum on Chris Paul? I mean, this ESPN special about how he couldn't wait to get out of town and he must be a pain in the butt to play with because the Clippers look so happy. But they look so happy as they're flying up and down the court and it's the Blake and DeAndre dunk show. And they look really good to me early on. Are we going to have a different view of Chris Paul after all this?
Again, it's a week into the regular season. I think anybody trying to make any, you know, massive sweeping judgments about anything at this point is deluding themselves. I mean, look, they played the Lakers and the Suns, who are two of probably the three or four worst teams in the league. And then they played a Utah team at home that is, you know, a solid team, but can't really score. So, you know, let's see how they look when they start playing some of the better teams in the league, how they look without Chris Paul. But that being said, I mean, look, they're going to look a little different without Chris there. They're going to have the ball in Blake's hands more. It's probably going to make Blake happier, and Chris can be a difficult guy to play with, but at the same time, they have won a lot of games with Chris Paul, and it remains to be seen if they're going to win nearly that many with without him now that he's in Houston.
Tim, wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate the insight. Enjoy hoops tonight and all the travels.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
Thank
Talk
you,
to you soon.
Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Next, we will tell you which Redskin is getting booted off the island for Redskin Survivor, who's getting immunity. Your last chance to vote in the next several minutes, go to Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Plus, I want to grab somebody's back that gets just knocked around like a punching bag all the time.
Oh.
I think unjustly so.
You're going to come to somebody's defense.
I will. That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.